and to help us break it all down. He was on the broadcast last night on ESPN. They did a great job last night
presenting
the draft. Wow, it was kind of gave you every different angle covered in the draft. And he was on the Telestrator last night. He joins us right now on the Comcast Business Hotline. You can follow Bobby Marks on Twitter at BobbyMarks42. Bobby, I'm sure it was a busy night for you last night, and I appreciate the flexibility and being able to move your time around based on the Sixers press conference. And a lot to get to here, including the trade of Mikal Bridges. Were you shocked to see that happen last night about an hour after the selection for the Sixers?
I was. I think I was more shocked at, you know, to move up five picks to cost that Phoenix pick that Miami 2021 unprotected pick that Phoenix had put a lot of value on. And, that's a high cost to go up there. Yeah. I thought Bridges was going to be there as a keeper. I like Zaire Smith a lot. I mean, I do. He's an 18, 19 year old wing. Probably the most put together player athletically that's in this draft. But yeah, that one did catch me off guard a little bit.
What is your take of Zaire's offensive game and what he needs to work on first?
Well, I think it's a little bit of everything. I think from a defensive standpoint, I think that the intangibles are there to make him, you know, a complete two-way player. But I think it certainly, you know, from a perimeter standpoint, I think that's a little bit of a work in progress. But as he said, he's an 18, 19 year old, you know, kid who, you know, Philadelphia will come in, and we know the track record of developing players. And, you know, he fits in with a lot of those wings that went off the board in that 15 to 30 range, here. But, you know, this league is built on wings. And if you can get two way guys like Zaire and develop them into, I don't want to say the next Jaylen Brown or Jason Tatum, those type players, That's a high commodity that you have there.
We're talking with Bobby Marks on the Comcast Business Hotline. Bobby, I believe that a lot of the moves that happened last night, including the acquisition of that 2021 unprotected pick from the Suns via the Heat, is all another asset to try and make another trade. Another deal is to come, and we can't judge what the Sixers did based on just last night. Is this them kind of setting the table for a potential move to try and get a player like Kawhi Leonard and use that to try and lure a player like LeBron James?
Yeah, I think regarding Kawhi, I mean, it'll be interesting how that plays out. And I think they met earlier this week. We'll see where this goes. I know the intent is to try to keep him. I don't know if that will work out. But, yeah, I think what the Miami pick does is just gives you another asset to when a player like Kawhi Leonard or another All-NBA player comes available, that you have the right resources to go out and make a deal. I mean, I think if you look at the two teams that have that, it's Philadelphia and Boston. Now, the hard part for Boston is trying to get the numbers together. But if you're Philly, you've got, you know, if Kawhi becomes available and you have a good comfort level that you can keep him long term, that you've got Robert Covington, you've got some of the guys who were drafted in the first round. I don't know if you would do a Markelle Fultz, but now you've got that Miami pick that becomes valuable. And if you don't use it in a trade, then you keep it. And I think the one interesting thing is, and this is why I was surprised that Miami got rid of it, is that, I mean, like Phoenix got rid of it, is that we don't know where this early entry rule is going to go in the future. And by 2021, we could be drafting high school players. And that might have a little bit more appeal here. But yeah, I think last night kind of sets you up for, you know, either you keep it or it sets you up for the next deal.
Hey, Bobby, let's just say there isn't a big trade to come. And the Sixers have, you know, Smith, Shamet, and Milton from this draft. Does the acquisition of three guards, wings/guards, tell us anything about what the Sixers think about Markelle Fultz at this time?
Yeah, that's a good question. And they've got, you know, and TJ's there also.
Right.
I mean, and you got Bam. I mean, there's a lot of guards there, guys. I mean, it's an overload. It will be interesting because they are going to have to make some moves here if they are going to be a player in free agency based on what you have from a roster standpoint. I think you're up to, you know, I think you've got, you know, 13, 14 players on that roster. You've got a limited flexibility. But, yeah, I think it kind of gives you a little bit of an insurance policy with Markel just based on a little bit of the unknown going into the summer. And hopefully it works out.
What is the value right now, Bobby, of a guy like Markelle Fultz? Obviously, it's not very high or as high as it could be, but what is his value on a trade market?
I think you have to look at the body of work at the end of March into early April. I think you have to look at, it's almost like going back into the draft and going and revisiting him when he was in, when he was in college his freshman year. As far as, I think there are a lot of scouts that love him, and there are some guys that have a lot of questions about it. And it only, I think it only takes one or two teams if they really want to go out and get a Markelle Fultz. But from what I understand that Philly really wasn't fielding much calls, and they didn't put him out on the trade market, over the last week here. So, I think he has to go through summer league. I think he's got to have a strong summer league if the intent is to try to, move him down the road. I think if you are looking to, you'll never recoup what you traded away last June. I mean, you're never going to get that same type of package that you sent to Boston. But I think you try to make it work first this summer. And if you don't, he's still a young, developing player that some team will certainly want to take a risk on.
Do you think the accumulation of all the redshirt seasons that the Sixers have had over these past couple of years with their draftees influenced them away from Michael Porter Jr. last night?
I do.
Yeah.
I do. I think Porter at a 10, it's a risk. I think where Philadelphia is, I don't know if they can wait on a player for a year. I think we might see Porter go that redshirt route. I would be stunned if we see him in a starting uniform come, early October there. I think if you're Denver, you're taking a wait and see approach. I mean, hey, he's got top three talent. I mean, there's no doubt about it, but there was 13 teams that passed on him. I thought his landing spot was Cleveland at 8, and there's concerns about his back. I mean, it's pretty simple. So yeah, I think really passing on him at 10, if he was at 16 or 17, I'd say, yeah, maybe you'd take a flyer on him, but I think it's a little bit too rich to pick him where he was just based on those concerns.
We're talking with Bobby Marks on the Comcast Business Hotline, former NBA executive, worked for ESPN, was on the draft coverage last night. Bobby, so much of this offseason is always predicated about where LeBron James will end up. And, we've heard varying reports that, the foregone conclusion that he's leaving Cleveland. Now we see a report on ESPN.com that there are some conversations. What kind of information can you lend to what LeBron's going to do, what you think he's going to do, and where he ends up? Because LA's been a hot name that's out there with the Lakers right now as well.
Yeah, I want to try to buy into the whole LA talk about it. I just don't see it unless somebody's coming with him. And I've said that before. I don't see LeBron going there by himself unless he thinks Kawhi Leonard's going to get there in 2019. And I don't know if LeBron wants to wait a year. So I think you look at it, what Cleveland did last night with, the Colin Sexton pick, what can they do in the offseason as far as trade to build around? And what's the sales pitch to do, to LeBron to stay home? And it's hard for guys to leave where they are. And he's already done that before. But I think we'll have a good idea when we get closer to that, as I mentioned last night, that June 29th date, if he opts in or opts out of that contract and where we're going. Because if he opts out, I think it really narrows the field to, Cleveland, Philadelphia, and possibly the Lakers. But hey, Philly's got the sales pitch. I talked through it last night. They've got the sales pitch when they do get hopefully an eventual meeting with James as far as what they can sell him.
Bobby, we're, 8 days, 12 hours or so away from free agency. What percentage would you put on Kawhi Leonard staying in San Antonio?
Oh, I would put it at 25%.
Wow, okay.
That's where I would put it. I watched R.C. Buford's press conference last night, and I give him a lot of credit because if I was in his shoes, I would try to make it work and go to the last mile to try to do so. It is hard to trade away a 26, 27-year-old player in the prime of his career who's a top five player in the NBA. And you're never going to recoup what you get back in a trade here. But I don't know if it's going down the right path. I think we'll get to a point. Well, I mean, that July 16th day is when he can sign that Supermax for the first time. And I think we'll know a lot more in the next 2 weeks here. But yeah, I would be surprised if, Kawhi is in a uniform when we get to the end of the summer here.
All right, now last one from me. Do you think this free agency period gets off to a fast start, or is this sort of a slow burn, until Kawhi actually makes up his mind as to what to do?
Yeah, I think we could be in a little bit of a holding pattern. I think the holding pattern would be certainly what LeBron does, how quick of a decision. Once I think he makes the decision, I think we start to see the dominoes fall. I think it'll be interesting. Guys like DeMarcus Cousins, who we really haven't talked about, what he's going to get in free agency. I think he could get squeezed out, possibly, based on that Achilles. But I think free agency it's pretty top heavy with James and Paul George, Chris Paul. We don't know what DeAndre Jordan's going to do yet. And then we've got a lot of good players here. So we'll probably see a couple guys come off the board right away. But I think we might be in a little bit of a slow period when we start free agency.
Last question for Bobby Marks, joining us on the Comcast Business Hotline. As you said, you trade star players in sports. You never get what you give in those deals, but sometimes it becomes untenable a situation. One of the things regarding Kawhi to the Lakers is the willingness for a team like the Spurs to trade him in conference and to the Lakers. You see that as any kind of possibility that Greg Popovich allows that team or that player to be traded to a team like the Lakers?
No. Yeah. I don't. Unless it's going to be, unless it's going to be the picks I gave Boston 5 years ago. I don't see a realistic scenario that, and I like Brandon Ingram and Kyle Kuzma and, you know, those young players, but I don't, unless the Lakers want to give like four first round picks to attach that, I don't see any way that Kawhi goes to the Lakers in a trade. I mean, who knows? I mean, but I just see the early scuttlebutt from there is that I don't see the Lakers being a trade partner.
Okay, and maybe that sets the stage for the Sixers to be that partner, especially with the familiarity of Brett Brown and that Spurs organization. No question about it.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, I think that's where Brett's relationship with Kawhi comes into play, guys. I think there has to be some back channel to see if this is a long term commitment, and I think Brett could probably get a good feel for that.
No question. Hey, Bobby, we appreciate it. We've been busy the last couple of days, and we'll definitely talk to you soon. And it's going to play out. It's going to be exciting, no doubt about it.
Thanks, guys.